We did hear from Mr. Purdon earlier on, so we better hear from Larry Eastman regarding Menengate. He had a talk with Shane Anderson on Racing Ahead during the week.
Let's get the latest on Menengate. He's going to contest the three-year-old Colts and Geldings final. And of course, we get this wonderful clash again with his great rival, Follow the Stars. His trainer, Larry Eastman, joins me. Larry, good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Shane.
How's Menengate come through? He's narrow but strong win last weekend.
Yeah, no, really good. He's in great order, Shane. He's just done a bit of fast work here this morning, and we're wrapped with his status at the moment, the way he is. Yeah, really good.
Chris Alford was able to get the lead with Menengate last week. Follow the Stars, trailed him everywhere, got out, couldn't reel him in. How's he, with the progression from that run last week to the barrier draw this weekend, Follow the Stars in four, Menengate in five, are you more confident?
Oh, look, last week, Shane, it was a different race. You on a different track, there's no sprint lane at Ballarat, so we probably drove the horse to win the race, naturally. But in saying that, we probably drove him probably a little bit out of his comfort zone in the fact that we sat up on him pretty much until that gap come for Follow the Stars. And you're right, he came at him pretty quick, and I'm pleased the post was where it was. But different scenario this week with the sprint lane. If that same scenario unfolds as leader behind leader like it was last week, well, Follow the Stars is going to have another 100 metres at him, and it'll be interesting to see whether he can peg him back. You can get to him, he's hard to get past, but I got all the respect in the world for Follow the Stars, like I have some of the other horses in that race, and it may not even unfold that way. It may, Group 1 racing, lots of things happen in it, and but we'd be more than happy to have that scenario again and try and fend him off.
Yeah, well, win, lose or draw, he's had a phenomenal season. The Burchard Bull, he's certainly become one of the most popular pacers we've got in the game. You've also got Millie Perez running in the final for the four-year-old mares.
Yeah, really happy with her, Shane. She had a little setback a couple of weeks back down there, but she's come through that in flying colours, and she actually worked with him this morning and kept him pretty busy. So we're pretty happy with her, and we used to think that 12 or 13 barriers at Melbourne were no good until she won that Group 1, so we're not too worried about the barrier anymore. We just hope that the same thing happens.
Well, I've got to say, Larry, you've become a real spokesman for the industry. The coverage that you provided throughout the last 12 months has been extraordinary. All credit to you. I wish you well this weekend, and with a bit of luck, we'll be talking to you after the Breeders' Crown on Sunday to get your insights in what has been a fantastic season.
Yeah, thanks for all that, Shane, and I hope I am talking to you next week. That'd be really good, thank you.
Good stuff. Larry Eastman with the Burchard Bull Menengate out to win another big race as he clashes with Follow the Stars in the Breeders' Crown. Three-year-old Colts and Geldings final on what is going to be a fantastic program of harness racing at Melton on Sunday.
Where trots racing is always more intense. On your digital radio, smartphones and the web. This is Carnival, your feature events channel.
Yeah, Larry Eastman's done a ripper job, and he's got a real-life chance in Menengate. This is the race I'm really looking forward to watching, guys. I think it is the top-billing race. We've got two exceptional three-year-olds. Both have strong credentials. I'll bounce the ball with you, Bonners. Who wins?
Look, I'm going with Menengate on top. I love the Burchard Bull. He's just he's captured the imagination and the attention of harness lovers, and I think racing lovers, and he's one of those horses that could potentially transcend harness racing and even racing in the coming seasons, because he's a big brute of a horse. He's owned by that ebullient, enthusiastic group of Burchard Boners. Larry Eastman, the Bushy made good, winning Group 1 this season after 30 or 40 years in the game. The story's terrific. I hope he wins. I'm not overconfident that he will, but I have got him on top. Obviously, we know there's only two possible scenarios in this race. One is that Follow the Stars is going to work to the front and then pretty meekly hand up to Menengate the way he did in the semi-finals, and that makes it a two-horse race. No other horse can win. Menengate leads, Follow the Stars on his back, strength against speed, and it'll be still a very exciting contest if that's what happens. The other scenario is that Follow the Stars leads and either holds out Menengate all the way and forces him to park, or they engage in a 600 or 800 metre war that Chris Alford refuses to lose, in which case he'll eventually get across Follow the Stars. If that last scenario occurs, both of them will lose. Both of them will lose. If they go for 600 or 800 metres and set up a 42-second lead time, they're both going to get rolled. And even if Meningate's left parked, there's a huge chance that both will get rolled. So everyone wants to talk this up as the match race, the two-horse race. It isn't that. I've backed He's Light Fingered earlier in the week at $21. I think he's into around 18 now. He's a very, very smart horse. He's stronger than he is fast. But if he can get in behind the leader or even in the 1-1 at worst, he's the number one blowout hope. The other blowout hope, My Kiwi Mate. We know he has got dazzling late speed. And if he can sit back, smoke the pipe, watch these two big guns hack and claw at each other for the majority of the race, he might be the one with the fresh legs. Blake, I can't see anything else winning. Have you got some sort of crazy blowout outside the top four that might get the job done?
No, I do not. And what I can say is there is only one way this race is going to go down now. Mark Purden is a very smart man. He's no fool, Mark Purden. And if you look at last week, Meningate's had a long season. He came off the Queensland runs. He went into his repercharge after getting dive-bombed in his semi-final. He's gone to that... in his heat. Gone to the semi-final. There is zero improvement left in him. I know Larry Eastman is the master at peaking him for the big day, but he is at his limit, Meningate. And all credit to him. He's had a magnificent season. Follow the Stars was having his second run in a month. He was very fresh for it, and he almost beat Meningate. So if... under those circumstances where he wasn't quite at his top, he can almost dive bomb Meningate. If he takes improvement for that and he sits on Meningate's back again, he'll run past him.
Just really quickly, give us a... at Ballarat, it took him a fair while to get out, Follow the Stars, yep. But he still had a good 150 metres to get set. He didn't make up much ground when he first pressed the button, and then he dove. The sprint lane at Tabcorp Park Melton's about 150 metres.
Yep. It'll be a similar...
it's a risk.
He'll have a similar amount of time, but he'll be wound up a lot earlier. Meningate will want to run him off his legs. There will be gaps opening up everywhere, left, right and centre. And we've already discussed it. Meningate is a very strong horse. If Meningate's biggest weapon is his strength, then Follow the Stars' biggest weapon is his speed.
Yeah, yep.
So if Mark Purden wants to play to Meningate's favour, he makes him sit parked and he makes it a staying test. If he wants to play to Follow the Stars' favour, he takes a quiet sit and hopes there's no pressure in the race. And in basically all of Meningate's big defeats, he's been beaten by a horse that's been able to get out late and beat him. So
who you got on top?
I'm going with Follow the Stars, provided that Mark Purden hands up, which I think is a 95% chance. I can't see him wanting to hold the lead. He's too smart for it. He'll play the percentages. He'll hand up, and I think he'll be too good. If he were to hold the lead, then I'm not so sure. I think My Kiwi Mates, you're obvious. But almost anything could happen under those circumstances. I don't think that Chris Alford will just sit there quietly. I think he'll have them running from the 1,000-metre mark or even further out to try and really put Follow the Stars to the sword. I'm backing Mark Purden in. I think he's the best horseman in Australia. I think he knows his horse well enough that he'll hand up. And for that reason, I think Follow the Stars is bordering on a good thing. I'd love to tip Meningate. I love the ownership group. They're great people, and it'll be a big party if he does win Meningate, but I think Follow the Stars is just arriving at the right time of the season. For me, he's the one to beat. Place chances, He's Light Fingered. I'm with you, Bonners. I think he's a big chance to even sit parked if he was forced to and still be kicking on at the end. My Kiwi Mate, if Spinner's Boy had drawn a bit better, I would have had him right in the mix to run a place because he's a horse that's got a lot of ability. But in terms of the quaddy, I think only two horses can win it because I think Follow the Stars will hand up, and for that reason I'd be willing to maybe stagger it two ways and have your main 75% on Follow the Stars and then your 25% on Meningate.
Two-year-old Colts and Geldings Trot is the next race at 5.27. Conan Bridges $1.30. Sundon's Courage at 5 with Tab. Cyclone Chief at 7, then cruising around. Blake, 11.
And he's the one I want to back cruising around because he's come off the Redwood run where he was very good. He was sort of strung up in between horses from the 400 to the 100-metre mark. It just didn't look like he really enjoyed it. Once he got some clear air late, I thought he was making good ground again, and then he's won his heat pretty comfortably since. So while the two big guns are going to get the perfect runs in transit, Conan Bridge will lead and Sundon's Courage will sit behind him. I just think that if Cruising Around can take a soft sit off the speed somewhere or be in the mix, I think he could be the strongest at the finish, but no doubt Conan Bridge deserves favouritism. I think the gap between even him and Sundon's Courage in the market is too great. Sundon's Courage has had a big season. He was huge last time, and he's going to have that soft run. But they're the only three I could really see winning the race, and then you're out to the likes of Charlie Runkle at his best, Cyclone Chief, War Dan Destroyer, maybe even a Sky Flyer. But for me, it's the one race I'd be willing to search for a little bit of value and maybe back cruising around on a 1-by-3 basis. Bonners.
Two horse race, best betting race if you want to play skinny all afternoon. On Super Sunday, 1 and 8 will dominate, 1 will lead Conbridge. Sundown's Courage will be right on his back as long as he trots early, and I expect that they will draw away. I'm going with 1 on top Conbridge, but I do think at the value, it's worth having a little lash on Sundown's Courage at around that $5. He is low flying, just an underrated horse. Classic case of being trained by a boutique horseman in Chris Angove, gets shoved under the carp a little bit. He's a nice horse. He's a Group 1 winner already, and he's only getting better. So he's got to be a chance. But Conbridge,
huge effort from Chris Angove, by the way, to have two horses in the finals.
Amazing.
Well.
And Conbridge, maybe the best two-year-old trotter in Australasia. I think that this is actually stronger than the fillies when you look at it as a whole, which you would probably expect, I guess. But Highgate and Miss and Die have both been very high-profile, winning the Jewels and also the Redwood Classic. Don't think there's any other winning hopes. Cruising Around's a nice trotter. I think he's been a touch overrated, but I throw him in for third place along with Cyclone Chief, who's a nice horse in New Zealand, but not at Conbridge's level. And to be honest, Blake Fitzpatrick's half talked me into throwing Hudson Bay in for third because he said this horse is very, 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 very smart. So he's got a number of chances on the day. Terrific horseman, great handler of trotters. So a little bit of value, throw the 12 in for third. But if you just want to play multiples through multis, have 1 and 8 Quinella, maybe you might get flip of the coin, maybe 220.
Yep.
On to race 10, guys. This is for the three-year-old fillies trotters, the last of the group ones. Rinna Dynamite, 185. Myari at 480. And Zeno at 10. Alana Hall is 11. Elder Baron DB and Fiery Mountain Girl and Glenfree Burn are $12 each of three. Jason.
By all reports, Reina Donzante translates as Dancing Queen. Dancing Queen. Dancer, so a little bit of an queen. ABBA theme. And then, of course, that comes from her mother being
La Cucaracha,
the cockroach. What a fantastic mare she was. Extraordinary. Did a lot of her best racing for Andy Gath, of course. But Reina Donzante, look.
Did I see a Talamode Lombo daughter or son win during the week?
You could have. She's had a few. She had
Yakuza, first starter at Melton.
A lot of racing.
First starter at Melton. Ooh. On Monday.
Jeez Louise won on debut, but it was 50-1, so I assume not by Talamade Lombo.
What was the race at Ascot Marina that were in?
Yeah, good question.
It might have been that one. But that's interesting because she has thrown a Tsunami Lombo. I think Yakuza was a horse, I think, who did a lot of racing in Tasmania. Your neck of the woods, JT, and was a really good stand-start horse. So she's not one of those mares who has not produced.
You boys keep talking and I'll get the results.
She has not produced at stud. It has to be said she hasn't produced a champion yet, but she's produced some pretty handy ones. And La Cucaracha, I don't think, has had anything prior to this, but Reina Donzante looks very, very special. Having said that, I think she's too short because she's made a couple of mistakes of recent times, and I'd be scared about taking red figures in a race where there's five or six legitimate threats, and the two that I'd be taking in particular from a wagering perspective are both trained by Blake Fitzpatrick. Have you got a breaking update for us, Blake?
I have. It was Mischief Made Lombo for David Miles.
That was that race.
It was the race, and John is spot on. So that's
David Miles?
It was David Miles. She was too good after trialling pretty well. She paid
Mischief Made Lombo.
I don't sit in that studio where Mazza has been all afternoon and just watch the races without taking notes.
No, you definitely were all over it there, to be honest, John. So that's a big one from you.
Maybe a big future, but I think it was paying reasonable odds. So
about $5-6, I think.
Yeah, $5.50.
Fiery Mountain Girl and Glenfree Burn. I'm sticking with Blake Fitzpatrick again here. I think that these two horses are around $12 fixed on, so worth having a little lash on each way. I won't be, of course, shocked if Reina Donzante just leads and dominates. So, Blake, for some reason, I think you tipped this girl to win the Vicbred Super Series, and now people think you're a 75% majority owner of the horse for some reason. But have you got her on top on Super Sunday, mate?
Oh, I think you have to have her on top, but I'm not as confident. If she hadn't have galloped two starts ago, I would have said she's near on unbeatable as I thought she was in the Vicbred Super Series. But the way that she galloped at a very crucial time in that race just always puts that little bit of doubt in the back of your mind. I know the connections are confident that she won't do it again. Spoken to Cody Winnell during the week, and they're very confident she won't be galloping again, but I'm not so sure. It's always a little bit of a risk. She should lead on her ear. She's pretty quick away. She remains the horse to beat. If she got out to $2.40, which I could see happening, then maybe you do launch into her because she's probably getting out to a backable price, and I can't take odds on about her, given we spoke to Brent Lilly on Sunday morning and he mentioned that Myari had been a little bit off maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago and she's coming right back into her best form. Although she's got the inside of the second row, we know at her best, she's certainly going to be right up there with Reina Donzante even from that bad barrier, and have a lot of time for Aldebaran DB. I think she's an improving filly. NZO similarly from the back row. I think they're the next group of horses, but probably as we get towards race 10 and 11, we'll hope we do some damage earlier on and just wait and see what sort of price we can get about the Dancing Queen.
And the last race of the day is the four-year-old mares, which goes after 6 o'clock. She's a runner at 270, Luda's 420, Millie Perez at 6, Where I Buy Along, $8, and then Quick Draft, 9. Borinha is at $10 to wrap up a sensational day. Who's going to win, Blake?
Oh, I think it's a really wide-open race. I think She's a Runner probably looms as the horse to beat, but she certainly found her right price after that barrier draw. I don't really want to be involved. Millie Perez, we heard from Larry Eastman before, he's very confident. Where I Buy Long is always going to give her absolute best, and she could be the one that goes around over the odds now because she's got that horror draw. I'm sure punters will be willing to ignore her a little bit. But her run to only be just run down by Bella's Delight, the older mare at Ballarat on the weekend, was still super, even though she was able to lead. So I'm willing to be swayed depending on, again, how the punting plays out on the day. As I talk, I'm sort of half talking myself back into Where I Buy Long a little bit. I think she's going to be certainly right in the mix at decent each-way odds. And just for those playing along at home, Tailor-Made Lombo is, of course, the dam of Aussie-Made Lombo, who won over $500,000 in prize money. So she may have produced one good one to date, but Mischief-Made Lombo certainly has the ability to go on with it. Anyway, back to more important thing, Bonus, race 11 at Melton on Sunday.
Wide open affair. I'm going with Quick Draft, a good value. I thought $9 is ridiculous, to be quite honest. I think she's probably, you know, the most talented, certainly the most consistent, and probably the most talented mare in the field. So you're really going to see $9 about her, I think, going forward. So I'm more than happy to take it off the second line draw tonight. She's certainly versatile enough to make a mid-race move and still get the job done. But there's heaps in here with winning hopes, from She's a Runner to Luda, Borinha, Quick Draft, Millie Perez, $6. She was paying $12 before when the opening markets came out. Since then, she broke gear in a race, I think.
Yes.
And she's come in half price despite drawing out to the second line. Bizarre sort of betting moves, I'd have to say. And Where I Buy Long, who was good last
week. She's $8. That's crazy overs, Where I Buy Long.
$8. What's Quick Draft?
$9.
Yeah. Well, they're both big overs. I'll go $9 Quick Draft. Six or seven winning hopes, and as we say regularly, one of those races where you either really like one, or you better be winning heaps or losing heaps to want to get involved. But it is one of those races, unlike many on the program, where it'll be $4 a field, hopefully, and we'll get some value out of it.
All right, guys, well played. If you missed that, it will be up on the HRV website later tonight. Best bet time, Bonners.
Unfortunately, we could be on the same page. Here we go. When you're looking for something better than $2, we don't want to give you a $1.40 winner. So, Hector JJ for me, Blakey boy.
I'll throw it straight back in your direction, but I'll say, if you were to have a five-horse all-up, Bonners, as you scramble through your notes,
five-horse
who are the five horses you're throwing in? So you can throw some of those short-price favourites through that.
I'm going to go Jedi Mind in race one.
Yep, one.
Then I'm going to go Our Waikiki Beach.
Two.
Then Our Dream About Me.
Three.
I'm going to sneakily throw in Hector JJ.
Four.
And I'm going to finish off with the Quinella, Conanbridge, and Sundance Courage.
Oh, I love a little bit of parlay formula.
Gee, this is going to... That's
not an all-up.
You know.
That's a parlay formula, my friends.
Sorry?
That's not an all-up. That's a parlay formula, my friends.
You probably have to take the first four and then put the Quinella on after.
No, no, you can do it.
You can do
parlay
it.
Parlay formula with Tab,
it up,
of course. One of my favourite bet types, the parlay formula.
Oh.
Have a system three.
If it's your
four.
Five, are you going to talk about parlay formula?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it all day, to be honest. I love a parlay
formula.
Long
as one of those 50 quick picks in there.
Yes. But Speeding Spur, Our Waikiki Beach, Our Dream About Me, Hector JJ, and I'll be brave and I'll say Cruising Around to Run a Place.
Nice. Yeah, well, it was nice having that four-leg multi running into that last one, wasn't it?
Just hit that wall just there. Hey, guys, well played. The scene is set for a massive day at Tabcorp Park, Melton. All the action will be on Carnival. You guys will be there, so you can have the dedicated trot coverage from 12 o'clock. Thanks, guys. We'll talk next week on Carnival.
Thanks, JT.
Thanks, John.
Where trots racing is always more intense. On your digital radio, smartphones, and the web. This is Carnival, your feature events channel.